Now, come on. Now, you two, you need to go find somebody. I know you're happily married and all the rest. Go find one. Oh, Darren's going over there. He wants to say something there to Abe or Rachel. There, good. Okay, have a seat. Okay, so you got a little bit of homework. Now, everything that happens here on a given Sunday, from Sunday school, junior church, worship teams, I trust that you sort of realize that these are people who, first of all, are committed to living for the Lord and have taken the time to seek to minister to the body. They also need ongoing strength and encouragement. And so as you're thinking about them, pray for them as they're teaching a Sunday school class. So maybe somebody who, teaching one of your kids, you say, I'm going to pray for that Sunday school teacher this morning, especially in light of the fact that they've got your kid. The other thing is to just realize that not everything in your life revolves around what happens here on a given Sunday. But what does happen here on a given Sunday is meant to help you and to encourage you. But it's not the end-all and be-all. And so the things that we're going to chat about here this morning maybe something that you already know, but then again, maybe not. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy. We're going to do a little bit of a review out of 1 Timothy. When I met my grandfather, he was probably... Let's see here. I got to try to remember how old he was. He was likely around 65, 66 years old. And as I approach that age, I'm starting to realize that he and I looked a little different. But also that he and I had been through life differently. He had seen the effects of the Second World War. He had been through the Great Depression. He experienced bankruptcy. He saw his wife go through two nervous breakdowns. He had seen the loss of at least five of his children. And yet, as I met him, I looked at him and I said, I thought to myself, as I saw him at times with his Bible in hand, this would be my mom's dad. I didn't see him pray except for the one time when I was just a little boy. I saw him kneeling by his bed and heard him praying for his family. Other than that, I didn't really see him pray, but I was touched by that. And so when you think about where you're at, and as you look at other people, I want you to realize that your vantage point isn't necessarily an advantage. You're simply seeing a moment in time. In 1 Timothy, we have a picture of two individuals. The Apostle Paul writing a letter to his son in the faith, Timothy. Saul had already experienced all kinds of challenges in his life. He had planted many churches. There were many people who came to understand the marvelous grace of God, but it wasn't without a cost in his own life. And so in this first slide, as you want to think about some lessons that you and I can learn from the pastoral epistles and specifically from 1 Timothy, here are basically four lessons that you can learn. The first one, of course, is that God uses normal, broken people to reach broken people with the good news of Jesus Christ. So you sort of say, you know, when you're young, say, I'm not broken. Well, we're all broken to a degree, but it takes us a while to understand that. And sometimes it becomes more apparent as we go on in life and we see other people and we can see their brokenness. We can see the impact of life. And not everybody fares the same way. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy, roughly around AD 62-63, he's writing from Macedonia, and he's writing to Timothy with great concern for a church that he had spent 3 years got to know the believers in that church. Secondly, God uses these same people to disciple new believers to maturity. So God's using broken people to disciple people to maturity. By the way, that's the parenting task. The task of taking the things that you know, try to flesh it out, try to figure out how am I going to be able to relate to my children, to my grandchildren in a meaningful way so that they understand the grace and the love of God. That should be the prayer of every parent here on any given day. Thirdly, God can get your attention in some pretty unusual ways if he so chooses. That's right. And if he hasn't gotten your attention yet, he's working on it. He's probably already tried a number of ways, but you haven't been paying attention. Fourthly, God uses his word to teach us that he actually has a plan to reach the world one person at a time. And we are part of that plan. But we are not unique to that plan. God is using men and women across the world, across the generations, because God cares for every human being on this planet. Next slide. We got to know and reflect upon who is Paul. And so actually we discovered that his Hebrew name is Saul and his Greek name is Paul. He was born, and if you want to look at the back of your map, you can find the city of Tarsus. Find out where he was from. He's actually a Roman citizen. And yet he was born in a Hebrew family. Sounds familiar with a lot of people here in this congregation. Yeah. Background's different, but actually a citizen here in Canada. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. I just want to figure out how far down I'm going here. He was a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. He was raised in the midst of Greek culture. He spoke Greek, but likely spoke Aramaic at home. He was trained in the scriptures by a great theologian, Gamaliel, a leading Pharisee. We read that he persecuted the church. In fact, he went to great lengths to stop the church from growing. And then he was confronted by the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Next slide. And so in the midst of all of this, God got his attention. And finally, Paul figured it out. Finally, he understood that God wanted to use his life. And I pray that every man and woman and young person here today and child would understand that God wants to use your life. Doesn't want you to wait till you're old. He wants to use your life right now. And so Paul became a spiritual father, a passionate church planter, and an evangelist. He was an apostle, a pastor teacher. He carried burdens for people. He prayed for others. He worshiped God. He worked hard. He sacrificed his health and his life for the sake of the gospel. He was a mentor. He was courageous. And he was beheaded for his faith in the Lord Jesus. He's an example for all of us who want to reach the lost. And all he simply wanted to know is the Lord. He wanted to know his Savior. Next slide. Purpose of the letter. He wanted to exhort and he wanted to encourage Timothy. And in so doing, He was hoping that Timothy would be able to strengthen this church that he was in. And so all the Sunday school teachers, all the youth leaders, all the Awana helpers, all the people who are involved in the ministry here, it is for solidifying, it is for strengthening this church, this work. And Paul was giving Timothy a special message to that, and that's why you want to get familiar with this book and why we've spent over a year going through it. Secondly, the pastoral epistles, and certainly 1 Timothy here, have principles for leadership and righteous living. Timothy had to address a challenge in the church. And by the way, every time some challenge takes place in life, whether you like it or not, it's going to affect you. It affects you. That's just all there is to it. And because it does, you have to take it to heart. And so Timothy was in this church that had some dysfunction. Even though the Apostle Paul, being a church planter, an evangelist, a disciple maker, you sort of figure, well, with all of the skill and the passion that Paul has, certainly these people would have matured. Not necessarily. You see, even though Paul was a great teacher and sought to model Christ-likeness, the recipients of the truth that he was proclaiming were just like him, imperfect human beings. It took Paul a long time to sort it out. And so Timothy had to address these false teachers. And then, of course, the purpose of the book is to give instruction on the roles of men, women, and elders, and yes, even church discipline. Next slide. There are five charges in it. There's a charge concerning doctrine in chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, public worship, chapters 2 and 3,